Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Guess who wasn't in the email? Whose name was not in the email? Zion's. Like, what the heck is...
Look at it. Today, when we grew up, right? If we had something negative to say about an individual, if we said it, we knew, depending on the individual, that there would be a consequence. And that's the problem I had. And so if I was willing to take on that consequence, then I'm going to say it. If I wasn't willing to say it, I'm going to keep
and Cliff High talking about zero day and the Swift disconnect and how all of this could lead to a digital currency and the crash of the dollar. So what, you know, what we're really seeing here going on with all of this propaganda is kind of overwhelming. And I've tried to really, you know, wrap my head around what's really going on. And I think that we can honestly say at this point the Great Reset is underway.
Do you believe?
Do you believe? Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Do you believe? I don't know if I do. Do you believe? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Do you believe? I don't know if I do anymore. Do you believe? Let me know what you have done.
Alright, let's play the game. Do you believe? Guys.
I do have a take.
As someone who now works on y'all side of things, I understand the job, and I'm all for the job, which is why I will give quotes and I expand on my answers. I make myself available because I understand how this thing works.
Guess who wasn't in the email? Whose name was not in the email?
Welcome to Point of Contention, 5 subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, Kyrie on fire. Thibodeau safe for now. Draymond back. Warriors title bound. The real March Madness. It's Pop done in San Antone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm Zach Harper. That's Jade Hoy producing in this corner. Born and raised in NYC, former beat reporter for the Thunder and the Wizards. Used to always just follow wherever Russell Westbrook went, but now he's currently rolling with the Knicks and the future author of the book, Rolling in Dolan, Jim Dolan's Guide to Making Bread. It's Fred. Don't call me Matt Katz. Fred, episode 2 of HBO's new series, Winning Time. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Literally have not watched 1 second of any.
Fantastic. Let me tell you, I am highly anticipating whether or not Twitter and the media try to break down whether or not that's how Jerry West has sex. And in this corner,
yeah, baby,
Bay Area legend, author of 2 books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed NBA forever, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, prediction: who will make the next 50-point night for the NBA? And will it be tonight?
I was hoping you would ask me, like, whether or not that was actually Jerry West and how he got down. But since you didn't ask, I won't ask.
Well, you know what? Dealer's choice, Marcus.
You didn't ask. Never mind. Next 50-point night is going to be Andrew Wiggins.
What? Tonight?
Tonight, no. It's going to be Jason Tatum, actually.
It's probably good. Trae Young plays the Hornets tonight, so, you know, pretty
who's
good.
Who's playing Orlando, right?
Yeah. That's cruel and unusual punishment. Also, I'll just say this regarding the Jerry West thing. I don't think that's how people did it in the 70s. I think that's a very modern style of having sex. So, you know what? First plot hole I've found in this
literally
time
a plot hole.
I don't know.
I haven't seen the show, but that sounds like literally a plot hole.
One of the famous stories about celebrity sex from back in the day, and the story by GQ called Papa about James Brown. Apparently, he used to have his homies
warm up the women for him. So they used to get down back then. Don't sleep on old school celebrity sex. They
just
knew how to rock.
Want to remind Marcus we are recording. Jabe, start the clock. Take one. Kyrie's 60 masterpiece, fellas. Exactly 1 week ago today, we were waxing poetically about Kyrie Irving's 50-point performance against the Hornets. Well, guess what? He did it again and then some. The Sage King dropped a career high and new franchise record 60 points during a 150-108 domination of the Orlando Magic on Tuesday night. Irving put on a show, one of the most impressive offensive halves of basketball in recent NBA history, with 41-point masterclass in that first 24 minutes. In 23 minutes, Irving went 14 of 19 from the field, 6 of 7 from 3, 7 of 7 from the free throw line, all while adding 3 rebounds and 3 assists. By the end of the half, the Orlando crowd was cheering for Irving every time he hit a shot. Jade, play the tape.
Chance.
Listen to this crowd.
That's special.
Irving, who's 29, finished the game 20 for 31 from the field, 8 of 12 from deep, 12 of 13 from the charity stripe, set multiple records with a first half gem. It was the highest scoring half of his career and highest scoring half for any player this season. Quote, making history, man. Making history, Irving said after the game. Jade played that tape.
Making history, man. Making history. And, doing it that guy is very special.
No, I felt good. I think it really is a testament to the way that we've been gelling as a team and us just giving each other confidence and doing the right things. And when you could get 60 in the flow of a game and it doesn't seem forced and you're not putting up a few too many bad shots and, you come to the bench and guys are supporting you and telling you to go after the record, then, you know, that makes the basketball well worth it.
Marcus, it's time to ask, is Kyrie Irving the best player in the NBA?
Yes.
Whoa!
When he's playing a bad defense and he's got some rest.
Oh.
And his 3-point shot is going, the dude is relatively unguardable. You know how in boxing they say pound for pound? If I said inch for inch, would that be appropriate?
We still talking Jerry West or what are we doing here?
Kyrie Irving is the best player.
I think I have to see this show.
Oh, I'm sorry for your loss.
I'm sorry for yours. Whatever it is.
I actually didn't lose for once. I won.
The happy endings, then.
Yeah, happy endings.
So what's next?
I'm just saying.
You know what?
Come on, man. You with me.
I'm hilarious, okay? I'm hilarious. I am criminally underappreciated. Keep all this in, Jade. Oh, my God. What are we talking about, Kyrie score?
I don't even know. I'm like, now I'm thinking about Jerry West breaking a headboard. Like,
Fred,
you haven't seen this?
Fred,
I have not seen this.
You know what? I either absolutely need to see this show or I never want to see this show my entire life. Good, and I'm not sure like which it. One yet.
It's a fun dramatization
it's
of everything going on.
So in the right, if the setting is ideal, Kyrie's unstoppable, right? His three is dropping like crazy, and I think that's what makes him this next level, because off the dribble, like he's unmatched relatively, and his finishing is great. He's so fresh. He's about to be 30 next week, and he looks like he's 25, but I do think him not playing so much, it has been a benefit. But when that three is dropping and you don't know which one to do,
nothing.
I mean, he's leaning, he's pulling up and he's leaning. You could tell he's not even like worried about form or feet set. He's like, this is money. When he's like that, bro, it's over. And you know, like Kevin Durant's the best player on that team, but Kevin Durant is like loving this. You know, he had 19 and he's over there bowing to Kyrie.
I've been saying it. It's pure. Everything he does is pure. You know, it looks so easy tonight. I look up, he got 10 points, and it felt like he only took 2 shots, you know, the first quarter. And I told Seth, I'm like, damn, I didn't know he had it cooking like that.
Fred, with Kyrie being such a scoring machine right now, and I think Marcus has a point here because it is a very fresh Kyrie. He hasn't really played much basketball in the last 3 years. And so maybe this is the way to go, is you just give him a 3-year sabbatical, essentially, and let him get ready right before the playoffs.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. Everybody talks about how treacherous the NBA schedule is, but Kyrie's got some natural rest days built in. So, like, when he is going up against an Orlando Magic defense and the rest of his team is readying, I think the Nets play Dallas next. The rest of the team is readying to play a really good Dallas team and who's been playing great lately and been defending well, and you got to deal with Luka. It's pretty nice to just be able to rely on Kyrie and say, you know what, just take us home. I feel like with all of the non-basketball stuff that surrounds Kyrie all the time, people have forgotten, like, the guy is freaking great. Like, he was 50-40-90 last year. He I realize he's only played 19 games, but he might do it again this year. He's one percentage point off from the field of doing it again on ridiculously high volume. He can go off like crazy. I think he's probably the best finisher around the rim of any small guard I've ever seen, other than maybe Jerry West.
He's better than most centers.
Yeah. Like, he's crazy just finishing around the rim. And like, when that jumper is going, which it usually is, I mean, his handles are crazy. I mean, just his ability to create his own shot is total insanity. And being able to see him show off like that without Harden there, when he's not really a third option, it's just like, I don't know. I think he's got a case for most fun guy to watch in the league. He's not the best player in his team because the best player in the league plays on his team. But I think he might be the most fun guy to watch.
And Marcus, I think to your point about the three-point shot falling, there is this thing that I've noticed a couple of guys do. We've seen Klay do it before. We've seen like a Duncan Robinson do it before. We've seen Kyrie do it recently. But when a guy catches the ball high and just lets it fly out of that shooting motion, doesn't bring it down. Yeah, that corner three he hit last night where he just caught it high, kept his hands exactly where he caught the ball, and just flung it. That's when you know he's truly, or anybody is truly, locked in.
Oh, he's done. At that point, it's like, this is bucket. I don't think that one hit the rim either, right? Like, I think that's where you know he's in the zone. Klay does it. When Klay does that, you know, it's like, okay, this is a wrap. Somebody better guard this guy.
That was Anthony Morrow became obsessed with that. That was like his move, and he taught it to KD.
It's to me, like you were talking about how great he is as a finisher, as a small guard. What's so crazy about it is he's not especially explosive. I do think he's a better athlete than, you know, we give him credit for. Like, but he's not like Derrick Rose. None of these are like, I'm just going to take off from the dotted line and bang it. It's all like, you know, it's unbelievable. He's so, watching him, like, I mean, we said it before, it's like, it's art, man. Like, you don't know what is happening. It's all improvisation and feel and creativity, which is why it's so, like, captivating. But he's shooting 43% from three. Like, if he's doing that, like, it's that's ball game.
I'm honestly surprised he's only at 90% from the free throw line. I just assumed it was much higher than that because I don't feel like I've seen him miss a free throw this entire season. Let's move on to the other New York basketball team. Fred, buckle up. It's take two. Get this guy out of here. Wait. After weeks of speculation that Tom Thibodeau's tenure with New York was heading towards an end, Thibodeau is now expected to remain the Knicks head coach beyond this 2021-2022 season. This, according to Bleacher Report. Bing bong! New York is now 5.5 games outside the play-in tournament.
What the fuck, baby? New York is fucking!
AKA, they're done, following a run to the number 4 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs just last year. There's been some internal support to move on from the NBA's reigning coach of the year, sources said. That's the danger of overperforming. That was a quote that one rival team strategist said. You think? It should be added that many analysts and spectators have pondered Thibodeau's coaching decisions under the, the what the fuck are you thinking tab. But hey, coach of the year. Danger of overperforming. That's what it is. More details from Bleacher. Quote,
Knicks governor James Dolan had granted the front office permission to either remove Thibodeau's head. Wait, sorry,
as long as I can get
it's a typo. Knicks governor James Dolan had granted the front office permission to either remove Thibodeau or retain him, sources said. Which is, I think, usually the case. You either fire somebody or you keep them employed. But CAA slash team president Leon Rose has no plans to make a change on the Knicks bench, sources said. New York's pathetic 2022 season would not be complete without some drama, but it behooves us. I'll talk about the list of inane things Thibs has done this season to undermine the success of last season. So, Fred, how and why is Tom Thibodeau still coaching the New York Knicks? Please excuse me.
Well, it starts with the relationship. You have to look at the reason why he was brought in to begin with. Leon Rose was hired by the Knicks after running the basketball division at CAA, which is an agency that the organization has had extremely close ties to and remains to have extremely close ties to this day. And Tibbs was represented by CAA and still is for many years. They've had that relationship for a long time. And that was kind of the basis of not just that hire, but many other hires, bringing in William Wesley, Worldwide West, who was the number two there in the front office behind Leon Rose as well. And I think the relationship is just something that you have to talk about whenever you mention the Tibbs and Knicks dynamic, independent of everything that's happened so far this year. Now, I think... If I had to guess, I would guess that he's back next year. He signed a 5-year deal. But on top of that, I mean, the other dynamic in play here is there are so many voices in the Knicks front office right now. Like, it's not just Leon Rose.
Now, that's not the Knicks I know. The Knicks I know, it's usually pretty uniform.
Exactly. It's not just Leon Rose. It's not just Worldwide West. You got Brock Aller, who does a lot of day-to-day stuff. Frank Zanin is in there and has a voice. They, you know, Mark Stein reported recently that they're bringing in Gerson Rosas, former Timberwolves president, as a consultant to the front office. They have a number of other people there who speak up as well. And Leon Rose kind of oversees that whole thing. And he's the one with the true Tibbs connections there. And he's obviously the one who is the top of the hierarchy. But there are a lot of voices there, which is kind of why you hear a lot of mixed opinions, because different people believe different things in that organization right now. And I think that report from Jake Fisher, Bleacher Report, is probably a good one. But there's just a whole lot of context to this whole thing, on top of the fact that they were the 4 seed last year and they are in all likelihood not even going to make the play-in this year. I mean, I think we can write that off.
Marcus, I feel like with this Knicks situation, all of this could be true. Everything could be accurate with what Fred just said and what Jake Fisher reported. And tomorrow, James Dolan could just change his mind. Yeah.
You know what? If that happened, which is very possible, it would be the right move.
Oh, whoa.
We've seen Tom Thibodeau is a really good coach, but he's like knee cartilage, right? Like, once it starts going, that's it. Like, there's no like regeneration happening. We've seen this.
My knee hurts just hearing that.
And every time, this flameout is faster, right? This flameout is happening. It's like 1 year good, and then you start to decline. It doesn't go up from this with Thibodeau. It's usually like a burnout. So I don't know why they think it's going to turn up. Are they suddenly going to like being run into the ground? Are guys going to commit to defense for a third year? We didn't do it a second year, but the third year, I promise you, we got you. Like, it's clear the pattern here, and they aren't committed to putting, you know, those kind of pieces around them. So I don't understand what they plan to do unless they're just going to redo the whole roster, put some dudes in who like absolutely love playing defense and Tibbs style, never want to come out right. And I don't know why they would do that. To me, it just doesn't work. We know where this is going with Thibodeau. We know it. He's a good coach, but we know where this is headed. So if Dolan did do that, it might be the smart thing.
The other part of this is like the Tibbs theme that travels throughout every organization he's with is discord with the front office. I talked about his relationship with Leon Rose, but there are certain people, you know, Brock Aller's been reported as somebody who he has a contentious relationship with. And just based on the moves, like, you can tell, you don't need sources to tell that the Cam Reddish situation was messed up. Like, I have reported that when they made that trade, they traded a first round pick and Kevin Knox for Cam Reddish. Really, the first round pick was obviously the gem in that trade. Right. And I reported at the time of the trade that Tibbs was not down for Cam Reddish when they made that deal. And I think it's been extremely clear that he was not down for Cam Reddish at any point that Cam Reddish was there before he got hurt and ended the season.
Because it seems like there's all love there. He
did not put him in the rotation. The only time Cam Reddish got in the rotation was when there were too many injuries to keep him out of the rotation. And we'll never know if Reddish would be in the rotation by the end of the year when or if everybody gets healthy, because he's now done for the year with a shoulder injury. But like, that is shows a tremendous disconnect when your front office trades a first round pick for a dude and your coach won't even put him in the game. Like, that is the opposite of synergy.
You know, Zach, we got to talk about the elephant in the room here, by the way. Another reason we just know this will not work, because if you just follow the pattern, the beat writer, wherever Fred Katz goes, disruption follows. I mean, yeah, he has a way of getting himself in there like a termite and destroying it from the inside out with his incredible reporting and truth-telling.
To be fair, this year in which Russell Westbrook has not had Fred around has been a disaster for Russ. So
all you need to know about Fred. Is Fred been propping up Russell Westbrook for years? That's how great he is.
Real quick before we move on, Fred, how much are they going to give Mitchell Robinson in free agency? Because that's going to be a potential issue.
It's going to be really interesting because he's also a weird fit with Julius Randle and RJ Barrett, because those guys want to be around the rim, and Mitchell Robinson just lives around the rim, not just because he's always dunking and that's kind of his main form of scoring, but because he's a big-time offensive rebounder and chases him. I mean, I think it'll be 8 figures. I think if you look at like Wendell Carter getting 4 for 50, Robert Williams III getting 4 for 48, Daniel Gafford getting 3 for 40, I'm sure he'll be asking for something in that realm. He's eligible for a 4-year $55 million extension right now. I don't know if it'll be that high, but I wouldn't be surprised if it were something in that realm, especially like the last month and a half. He's been good.
I bet he gets Evan Fournier money.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But hey, at least they're both bad on defense. All right, take three. Speaking of good on defense, Warriors back, Draymond back.
Draymond, it's been 512 games since you came off the bench. What was that like for you?
Warriors fans rejoice. Swiss Army Knife Draymond Green and fellow media member returned to the floor after a 31-game absence this week. Jade, play the tape.
We play, you write, you speak, and it grows the game.
In Monday night's 126-112 victory over the Wizards, the Warriors core of Curry, Draymond, and Klay played an NBA game together for the first time in 1,005 days. Now he'll never talk to me. Green was on the court after just 11 seconds before making his impact felt, beating Curry for a wing three-pointer. Jade played that tape.
And that crowd applause tells you that after 2 months, Draymond Green is back in the building. Just got goosebumps. He's so happy to be back out there. It's got to be so tough for someone that's as competitive as him to sit there and watch from the sidelines as his teammates are doing work. Now he's back where he belongs. Look at that smile on his face. He comes in with Washington taking the lead. The Warriors are led by 8 early. They run that patented split action. First Steph three.
It's only right. The first pass he makes, Steph knocks it down. The split action is so good. This huge defender was nowhere to be found.
Green's return couldn't have come at a better time for the Warriors as they extended their win streak to 4 games while looking to secure that 2 seed in the Western Conference heading down the stretch. Steph Curry clearly felt the Draymond bump as he dropped 47 points, breaking out of that shooting slump. Following the game, Green, a not-so-humble man, expressed his enthusiasm for the road ahead. Jade,
Tape me.
To start, what's your mindset right now?
Obviously, the two seed will be great, but we're not chasing it. We're going to make sure we do everything we can to stay healthy coming down the stretch. Not going to make any bonehead decisions trying to chase the two seed. Whether we're two seed or three seed, we're going to win a championship, so don't really matter.
Did you just calling that right now to finish off the post-game interview?
Yeah, I called it months ago.
There were no visible ill effects during Green's 20 minutes as he finished with 6 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and was a game-high plus 24. Marcus, how confident are you in Draymond's prediction that this team is title-bound?
Not as confident as he is. And I also don't think this is like a one-year thing. I think they've got this year, next year. I don't think it's wholly on Draymond, Steph, and Klay. Like, we got to see who Jordan Poole is in the playoffs. We got to see who Andrew Wiggins is in the playoffs. They got a lot of question marks. A lot of dudes who haven't been on that stage before.
Right.
But the one thing that really jumped out, it's crazy to think about it. And Steph looked so happy. Right, like, and then you start thinking, like, he's been 2 years without his guy, right? Like,
just waiting for both these dudes to be here.
He's been begging for. He was so happy. The first play when they come in the game, he calls their little pet play where Draymond's in the post and he cuts off the screen. Steph like calls the play immediately just to get the pass from Draymond. Right, 11 seconds in, his shot has never looked more pure than it did. Well, maybe the All Star game, but than it did like when Draymond was on the court.
Yeah,
he just feels better about it. Which, you know, since he is one of the elite players in his league, that matters, right? The fact that Steph is like, finally, it's not like Kelly Oubre and Brad Wanamaker anymore. It's like
Brad,
I got my guys back.
Forgot about Brad Wanamaker. Oh my god!
It's been a lot. Remember that first year when it was D'Angelo Russell and Glenn Robinson III? Like, he's been waiting for this for so long. You could just see how happy he felt. Like, it is pretty unique that they still get to do it together, because you don't really get to see these reunion tours like this in the NBA.
Yeah, Fred, I've been waiting for this Draymond return because I don't think you can take the Warriors seriously as even a team that could get to the conference finals without Draymond on the court. Like, even as good as Steph is and as good as Klay looks in this return from that injury and that time off, without Draymond, they're just not the same. But do you think that they're better than Phoenix?
Assuming Chris Paul is healthy, no, I don't think.
Yeah, let's say full health for both teams.
I don't think they're better than Phoenix, but I think that would be a hell of a series. Like, they could beat Phoenix, but I would pick Phoenix in that series. The one thing that would really, I mean, when Steph and Draymond are on the floor this year, they're plus 15 per 100 possessions. I mean, that is a ridiculously dominant team. Insane, when those guys are together. Right?
It doesn't even make sense. Like, why?
That's like double what the Suns have been this year in terms of just as a team.
Those guys are the greatest example of if they get along and if they're willing to make it work, just keep players together, because eventually they will develop, especially really good to great ones, they will develop this telepathy. Like, those guys just know how to play with each other. They can do it with their eyes closed. They play beautiful basketball with each other no matter what. They know all of each other's tendencies because they've been doing it for a million years. And I think that's part of it. And I mean, the thing is with Draymond is that, like, with no Draymond, the Warriors they would not be able to win the West, because Draymond is for their defense what Steph is for their offense. I mean, when he's healthy, he's the best defensive player in the league, I think. So
yeah,
that's just a total game changer for them defensively. But I don't know. Phoenix plays. I think Phoenix has been by far the best team in the league this year. So I'd have to roll with them. But I mean, the Warriors could win that series because they're going to go into it with the best player. And if Klay starts to look even more like himself, then, you know, obviously that's a huge development too.
Yeah, Draymond.
Isn't that the puncher's chance though, right? Like, isn't like the fact that the Warriors have won 3 titles, they walk into any arena like, team, but yeah. That's the puncher's chance they'll have. Like, in any series, no matter what the matchup is.
I think the messed up thing too is, like, they would probably walk into that series against Phoenix and be like, you gonna beat this with Chris Paul? No, you're like, that's been tried before. Like, that's not going to work, right? Like, as good as that Suns team is, I think that would be the mentality they have.
Loaded too.
Yeah. Oh my god. That Suns team's the deepest team in the league by far.
They're good without Chris Paul. They're still winning.
Yeah.
And Monty Williams is unbelievable coach. Like, they are insane. They play beautiful, Everyone talks about the beautiful basketball the Warriors play. They play beautiful basketball.
And they have the, like, kryptonite of the Warriors, right? Like, they have the thing in Ayton that could hurt the Warriors. So it's not like it's two teams where it's like, oh, they don't have a big man. Like Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Dallas is really good, but it's like, all right, strength against strength. Phoenix has the counter, and the question is, can they do something? Like, can they do enough about it to make it work? So that's what makes Phoenix uniquely tricky. Is they're just going to run really good big men out there.
Right, and Draymond would have run away with Defensive Player of the Year had he not gotten hurt. And I think it opened the door for Mikal Bridges to be the Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah. And I'm not saying Mikal can stop Steph, but he can make a series really difficult for Steph. Like, he can make that really... He navigates screens better than anybody in the league.
No question. He's incredible on the perimeter. He's so... Like, you got to be calm with Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't freak... Steph freaks people out, and you start doing dumb stuff, right? And people overhelp, and you just... Nobody wants to be on the Steph highlight show. Mikal Bridges is like... He's cool. Like, he's got this nice calm about him. He's going to run the game plan. He's going to do it. And that series essentially puts it on Klay, because you got to make him pay, right? Like, so it's like, who can make him pay? That's Klay. That's Jordan Poole. That's Andrew Wiggins. But I love Bridges against Steph. Like, if I'm putting somebody against Steph, that's kind of the prototype that you want against him.
Yeah, it gets you length, too. If you guard Steph with a point guard, it's just so hard to contest.
Like, he's just so good, though. He's just good at it, right? Like, you know who else is really good at it on that team? Like, Jay Crowder, man. He hits every big shot. That, look at your Jay Crowder hate has to stop.
It's not hatred. The man is not a reliable shooter. He's had moment, two baby. Years where it's like, holy big shit, moment. Look at Jay Crowder shooting. And he's like had nine without that.
Big moment, baby.
Everyone on Phoenix steps up. Like, Cam Johnson has become one of the more underrated players in the league.
Because Cam Johnson can fucking shoot. That's why, Marcus.
Cam Johnson shooting like 45% from three.
I mean, that's about the same as Crowder in the moments, the big moments. I mean,
Crowder's like 107% in the big moments.
Jade, cut all that. Take four, the real March Madness. The NCAA men's basketball tournament officially tipped off on Wednesday, but in the NBA, term March Madness has been rolling since March 5th. So far this month, seven players have scored 50 or more points, starting with LeBron James' 56-point effort against the Warriors on March 5th. Since then, there's been no more than a three-day delay between 50-point games. Of the seven 50-point games this month, five of the players needed less than 40 minutes to accomplish that, with Jason Tatum's effort narrowly missing the cut when he played 41 minutes in his game. The last month with more 50-point games in the NBA was December of 1962. There were nine of them that month, six by Wilt Chamberlain, of course. The other three, Elgin Baylor. What is happening with the scoring? Fred, please, to the best of your ability, decipher this incredible outbreak in individual scoring, this scoring renaissance, if you will.
I can't. It's extraordinary. I mean, we're kind of at a place in the league where teams are gradually handing more and more responsibilities to one single guy to run their offense. Like, that's kind of the more modern way that we've gotten to over the last 3 or 4 years, and it's becoming more extreme. And you look at the guys like Trae Young and Luka, and it's just like they do everything for their offense. And I'm sure that's a part of it. I don't know. I think it's probably some amount of coincidence, but it's a great coincidence. It's really fun. I will say that at the start of every season, we at The Athletic do a preview thing where we poll all the writers about predictions for the upcoming year. And we have to put in our MVP pick and our Defensive Player of the Year pick. Who's going to win the East? Who's going to win the West? And there's always a question, who is going to be the first player to drop 50? Not who is going to drop 50 the most, but who is going to be the first player to drop 50? And I always protest vote Bryn Forbes. So I might be the worst person to ask this question to.
One day, Bryn Forbes is going to do it, though.
One day he's going to do it. I'm going to be like, I told you, Bryn Forbes.
Tony Delk did it. Look,
he's just
going to
get really hot. Corey Brewer dropped 50.
I was in the building for Corey Brewer dropping 50, okay? Nothing will ever be a more bewildering experience.
That was extraordinary. Corey Brewer going for 50. Mo Williams going for 50.
I watched a player go for 50 by just doing runouts with James Harden supposed to guard him. He just like outran James Harden the entire night.
Yeah, the drunken dribbler. Corey Brewer fell down more than any player in the history of the NBA fell down.
Yep.
Just constantly in a state of falling or just fell.
I think he has set the record for air balls on corner threes. Just absolutely airmailing corner threes. Like it has to have been him. And my favorite part of his 50-point night, he got drug tested right after the game. It took forever for him to come talk to us because he had to pee and couldn't pee.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Marcus, what do you make of this scoring renaissance? Maybe Steph Curry kind of tipped everything off after the All-Star game, huh? Maybe they're just trying to match Steph now.
It's so weird, right? The three-pointers aren't even going crazy. You would think, more three. No, they made more threes last year on average as a league. It's wild. I do think what Fred is saying, it's a lot of like high usage from superstars, right? It's a lot of, hey man, go get your money, go hold the ball and go make plays. But there's got to be something. I don't know. Maybe the play-in has ruined March defense. Maybe that's what's happening. This is like, everybody's chilling because you're going to have to make this last minute ditch to get in. So now it's like the dog days, you know, people are out. I don't know what defense is terrible right now. Like
just the dog days of defense, right?
The dog days of defense. It's March sadness for the defensive coordinators of the league. That's what's happening. You know, you play Orlando and Charlotte enough and the Wizards, you know, they don't care about this part of the season. Like who's worried about it? To me, you're just watching the defense. There's so many open threes. It's insane. Like, people just don't play defense anymore. We watched Kevin Durant get, like, 50 before somebody decided to throw a trap. Like, oh,
unbelievable.
Let's trap him
unbelievable.
Now.
It took the Knicks that long to try to get the ball out of his hands.
And this is like the defensive guru coaching them. Like, hey, you know what? He's got 50. Maybe we should trap now.
You know what I love? It was the idea was just like, Jericho Sims, you're not really doing anything down there on the baseline. Just go run out of KD.
Run
like,
from the
just
aisle,
sprint
right?
From 40 feet away as he brings the ball across half back. Court and then run back. Yes.
He ran back like, hey, he'll never get the ball again now.
He's doing sprints on the court.
This is what Fred brings to the team, man. He just makes coaches go crazy because he's going to report it and they get scared. And
what I bring to a podcast is I inspire random Jericho Sims references that never otherwise would have happened.
His defensive assignments were random too. Jeez. It's just, hey, run from the baseline. KD, and then go back. Like, that was a defense.
It was one play. Jericho Sims ran about 30 feet to double Kevin Durant, went back to the rim, had to help off of his guy for a James Johnson layup, contested verticality, and forced the miss. And I'm like, damn.
That's a lot of movement. I've never seen that before in my life, yo. I've never seen
that. Yeah, you only
that
covered
that.
Draymond Green. You've never seen that before.
It's like... The Jericho Sims defensive like strategy for Tom Thibodeau was essentially the like hide behind this door and then when someone walks through it, jump out and go boom. Like that's what it was.
But like it was a glass door.
Right.
It's like, we can, if you go this way, KD won't see you coming.
Right.
Hurry back, because your team needs you. Like,
you're describing Jericho Sims the same way people advise people to act when a bear is around them.
Yeah,
just make yourself big
and loud as possible.
Just get big and loud. Absolutely.
They saw Kevin Durant as a bear coming across half court with a basketball.
Get the hell out of there! Right.
All right. Speaking of coaching genius, take five. Greg Popovich done in San Antonio. With the all-time wins record now in his rearview mirror, has Greg Popovich decided to call it a career? According to Mark Stein, Utah Jazz coach Quinn Snyder is now rumored to be a candidate to eventually replace Popovich. One wonders what eventually means. As mentioned, Popovich set the record for the most wins by a coach in NBA history. He owns a 1,336 win, 695 loss record in his 26 seasons as head coach of the Spurs. If you lose more than 600 games, you really be that good of a coach. He took over as head coach before the 96-97 season, almost got fired, and then has since led the franchise to 5 NBA titles with Tim Duncan. Marcus, how much does Pop have left in the Pop tank? And is Quinn going to be in sooner or later?
How much wine is left? I think Pop can go as long.
We're talking
as
LeBron or Pop here. What do we do?
Yeah, we talking about if Pop can get some good wine, I think he can ride it out. There's nothing like touring the nation to hit your best wine spots, and also coaching games in the process
and
right?
making
like,
a lot of money doing it. Yeah,
yeah right. I think he should have been left. Like you know, I mean, obviously he got the wins record now. I don't know what he's doing. He doesn't need any more, and he certainly doesn't need. Lonnie Walker to
wow. Carry his why is Lonnie up. Walker catching strays here?
Goodness. I'm just saying.
He's, by the way, has Olympic gold medalist Keldon Johnson. Thank you very
much.
Keldon
Johnson, absolutely. He hustled a medal out of it. I do think, Pop, this is a little bit beneath him for me. Like this 26-43. Like, you know, he had a winning season in 3 years. It's like, all right, Pop, you know, this is getting a little Willie Mays-ish, right? Like, have a seat, buddy. Let somebody take over. But I don't know why Quinn Snyder would do this. Like, hey, no, I'm going to go coach Lonnie Walker and leave Rudy Gobert, the greatest defender of all time. Why would he do that? All I hear is how great Rudy Gobert is. Why would he leave Rudy Gobert? You tell me.
Well, maybe he can leave him in the playoffs and go coach another team. Maybe that's what he could do.
Quinn Snyder is... He's spent his entire career being Spurs adjacent, even though he's never actually worked for the Spurs. Like every single person that he worked for was either former or future Spurs person. Like he was head coach of their G League team, but wasn't with the Spurs. I guess it was the D League at the time. He was an assistant for Mike Budenholzer, but in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He was an assistant in CSKA Moscow for Ettore Messina, who was eventually Popovich's number two after that. He was an assistant for Mike Brown in L.A., former Spurs guy. He's like all former Spurs people that he's always around, but he's never actually been on the Spurs staff. So him progressing to Spurs head coach sounds like the absolutely perfect progression for him.
What if he just likes coaching?
I got my money on Mike Brown, baby. I got my money on Mike Brown, by the way.
Really?
Taking the spot. Mike Brown. Mike Brown he's been waiting for a long time. I think he might not be getting multiple checks anymore. So I think it's time. Mike Brown been collecting multiple checks for years. So from the Lakers and the Cavs. So I think he might
multi check Mike. It's a great existence.
Mike, let's go.
What if he just likes coaching at this point? What if he just likes coaching the young guys? He just gets a kick out of like coaching DeJounte Murray and Jakob Poeltl.
We have no reaction to that
at all. Well, how about he go to
sorry,
like
Michelle? UTEP Michelle, I tried. All right, I tried.
Go to college. That's the place where you love coaching, right? Like,
Pop should go take over Duke. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah,
how about that, right?
Get a real coach in there. That's gonna do it for this edition.
of the Point of Contention podcast. No, man, losing to Belmont, super good. That will do it. Make sure to subscribe to all of the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and of course, Michelle Beadle's new podcast, What Did I Miss? The Miss will soon maybe be Craig Popovich. For Marcus Thompson, for Fred Katz, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.
Dream the dream by the old canal. I kiss my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town. Clouds are drifting across the moon. Cats are prowling on their beat. Springs a girl from the streets at night. Dirty old town, dirty old town.
As someone who now works on y'all side of things, I understand the job, and I'm all for the job, which is why I will give quotes and I expand on my answers. I make myself available because I understand how this thing works. You know, we play, you write, you speak, and it grows the game. And due to that, you know, because of that, we are all one. I don't know if people understand that or not. But my job don't work without y'all, and y'all job don't work without mine. That's just how this goes. When we were shut down, we always shut down. And so, integrity is important. It's very important. And when you assume shit and you try to put things out there to cause controversy and to essentially make other people look bad, it's ridiculous. We have children, we have family, I have a mother, I have a father, I have grandparents. And so when you do things and you try to give your story an extra boost, just remember, we work together. And it's not always like that. So as a man of my word, I'm not going to give much today. If anyone wants to talk to me outside of here,
I'm all for it, but I'm not giving much today because I'm not sure that I can trust what my words are going to go from here, because the integrity of this job is extremely important.
I kissed my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town.